Hey, what's going on, Dreammakers? Welcome back to Today in Mortgage. Today's episode is a little bit different. We have an interview with our very own Rich Jefferson, who got together with our favorite building champions coach, Michael Regan, to talk about the recent developments in the NAR settlements and what that looks like for the future of real estate and our industry in the mortgage lending business. This is the type of content that we get inside the network with our coaching and development programs that help us really understand what's going on in the industry and to go out there and really do the best work that we can for our clients and for ourselves. So listen in as Rich and Michael discuss the NAR settlements.
Okay, as mentioned last week, I have a special guest. Welcome, Coach Michael Regan with Building Champions. How are you, Coach?
Feeling great today, Rich. Thanks for having me again.
Good, man. I really appreciate having you on today because there's been a lot of talk about the National Association of Realtor settlement in the big case amongst many other real estate agencies that also settled RE/MAX, Keller Williams, Compass, you name it. They've all settled out and tried to get this behind them. Yeah. But the reason I wanted you on is because not only do you coach a lot of, you know, great producers in our industry, including several with network funding, but you also coach real estate agents. So this was a good source of credibility on what is the conversation like on the real estate agent side versus what you're hearing from our side. What, you got any insights?
Yeah, it's a great setup because I think when we look at our friends on the real estate side, you're going to get a mix of all the kinds of emotional reactions you might anticipate. Some folks are looking at this with nothing but fear, like this is going to screw everything up, and all they can see is the disruption. Other folks are saying, "Hey, let's wait and see. I don't know that this is really going to change much other than the way things get posted or listed on the MLS. So let's don't get all wound around the axle." And then you get a few people, believe it or not, they're like, "You know what? This is going to be just the separation I needed." These agents that are really thinking bigger about their vision and their future, they feel like they can finally elbow out a few of these pretenders that are just distracted by this, or maybe even disoriented by this. And so they're going to take advantage of that. They see this as a chance to pull a strategy together and shift into gear. So I think you're going to see a little bit of all three, depending upon, in my estimation, the vision of that agent. If that agent sees themselves as a top producer of the future rather than a top producer of the past, you're likely to see them see this as nothing but an opportunity to kick it into gear.
I agree with you, Michael. I feel like the best are going to get better. And some of the lower end kind of hobby real estate agents were likely to go away.
Yeah, we saw that in our industry, Rich. We saw that as we went through this. I mean, we've been through an earlier version of this, not exactly the same, but where, you know, Dodd-Frank and some of the things with TRID have affected us, and we've had to watch certain people run to the hills. And really, had it not been for COVID, when we invited a bunch of them to come back and take another swing at it, they were gone by 2018 and 19. The folks that were left were the real pros. I think if we can throw out an anomaly like the COVID years and really look at the trend of where we were going in mortgage lending from 2015 to 19, in that window, I think we were down to the real hardworking professionals. So if those of you on today's call were part of that season at Network Funding, or you were part of a mortgage team during that season, and you're still here investing in yourself and investing in your growth, I think you have a lot of opportunity to go meet with some of these agents in a spirit of empathy and tell them, "Hey, I didn't have the same story, but I had a similar story. And let me tell you what we did with it and how we made the shift and how we got to where we are today and why we're so optimistic about the future." I think that's a real opportunity. We've got to get out there and connect with these agents that are ready to grow.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a really good opportunity to get in front of them just to at least share experience, right? You know, because not every real estate agency has great leadership, right? So we don't know what the discussions are like, you know, inside the office when when other agents are asking questions to the broker. And you know, who knows, some of the brokers are like, "Nah, you know, it's regular business as usual. There'll be no changes.
And Rich, some, that's not a joke. That's not a joke. I hear that and it discourages me so much to think that there are brokers literally telling their agents, just don't pay any attention to that. We've had stuff like this before. It's all going to blow over. And I think, gosh, is that really the leadership message you want to send to your agents?
Yeah, I just feel like everybody should be aware of what's happening and communicating to your people about some of the anticipated outcomes. Because just as, you know, on our side, there's tons of conversation about LOs getting their real estate license. Now, I think that would be more successful than a realtor getting an LO license, but I still, it's hard to be great at two things. And, you know, I'm worried about that. One, alienating our referral agents because they're like, oh, well, you're just a competitor now. But then, you know, are we really going to be good at that with a buyer?
Yeah, it's a great question you're asking. And I think we need to give people the space to go ahead and ask those questions and think through it, because most of them, when they really give themselves time to think through it, will realize, wait a minute, I'm already up to my eyeballs in the activity with my current profession. Am I really prepared to be excellent at two professions? So I think we shouldn't squash that. We should give them the space, like really dialogue that out. I read a great book back in, I think it was 2011, from the technology sector. And you know this from working with me, Rich, is I sometimes like bringing in outside thinkers. So we're not always talking real estate with real estate people. We're talking real estate with folks that maybe are bringing in an outside perspective. The book by Daniel Burris was called Flash Foresight. And his premise of the book was built around one simple question. What happens after what happens next? So what I would really encourage as you're asking some of those great questions is let's start gathering in some roundtables, maybe internally as teams, but then let's start including some of our realtor partners. Let's start having some partner planning meetings. Let's let the questions be asked. And even if it is, hey, maybe some lenders are going to want to get a real estate license. Hey, maybe some realtors are going to want to get their NMLS. Maybe what happens after that happens? Let's start thinking about our strategies, because we can all prognosticate over what's going to happen in July based on the current status of the rulings. We can also speculate on whether or not there's going to be countersuits or pushbacks, or whether this thing is truly settled, or what it really means. All of that stuff feels like just background chatter to me. I want to get ahead of that and start asking myself really serious questions like, what happens if this is finally the time where the lender is no longer in control of the majority of the leads? And by the way, I don't think for a second realtors won't be in control of some of the leads, but let's imagine a future where they don't control all of the leads like they used to. So what happens after that? I maybe finally have the option to get ahead in the referral process and maybe be the initial point of contact for some of these consumers. So how do I start thinking about that? How do I start thinking about the way I would set up my call days or my referrals or my database management if I was the one responsible for finding the leads? It may not be your primary strategy, but once you start pushing yourself to think about what happens after what happens next, you start to get really creative around the things that you can be doing to prepare yourself for a future. And that's what I'm urging all my clients to do. Don't sit back and wait and watch. Go learn, go listen, and go strategize on some ideas that really could shift ahead of the folks that are going to wait and see.
And of the agents that you're coaching, like where's the anxiety level with them on a scale of 1 to 10?
So remember how we all felt when our first reaction was, what? They're coming for my paycheck? Mm-hmm. Like that's a real thing. And you have to start questioning, is the value I bring even worth what I'm paid? Should I even feel good about this or bad about this? Like these are very normal thoughts that realtors are having right now. Some are going to, you know, dig their heels in. Of course I'm freaking worth it. And they're going to fight for it. And then others are going to, you know, act like maybe I've been overcharging for years, and you're going to get all of that. My job as a coach is not to tell them that's right or wrong. It's to help them to think through that and then to start assigning real value as they look forward. What will the borrower and buyer of the future need from you as a real estate agent in order to provide enough value to where you feel really good about what you're able to charge and how you communicate that. Because if you're working on the buyer side, you're going to have to communicate that a lot differently in the future. If you're a listing agent, you're going to have to now recognize you probably hold a little bit more power in this moment. You know, it may not stay that way. So how are you going to use that? Are you going to act arrogant and above everybody like you're in control? Or are you going to remind the audience that, hey, other agents participating in this does in fact increase the exposure to your home, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner. So let's don't be so quick to think that we can just cut them out or cut them way down. So I think those are some things I'm working through with agents is let's get clear on what your real value is so that you feel really good about what you charge for your services. And then let's be really clear that you're going to have to be more proactive in your communication on both sides of the coin, listing and buying.
And, you know, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, Elo saying, you know, I would likely be a better real estate agent than a lot of agents out there. I see lots of contracts, likely more than my referring agencies in a year. Like, I would be really good about this. But, you know, I always remind people, like, we have a hard enough time selling our own UVP, our own value proposition as a lender. Now you're going to learn to sell it as a real estate agent too? Like,
yep. You're bringing up a really great topic. And look, I'm going to quote one of my favorite Russian proverbs. When a man goes out to chase two rabbits, he catches neither. And so we want to be really careful. You know, I would have used the show, the Otani example, except maybe now his reputation might be in question based on the recent news. But, you know, let's pretend we're looking at him from last year. The reason he's such a special player last year and for the previous years as a pitcher and a hitter is that nobody else really had, since Babe Ruth, been able to do what he did as a pitcher and a hitter. That's how rare it was. So will somebody out there be able to be an amazing realtor and lender? Maybe.
Somebody
will. But just because somebody can do it doesn't mean that's the wave of the future and everybody should do it. I would really say, look, unless you're that kind of world-class talent to be able to pull that off, your energy is probably best spent being the expert in the field that you choose. So if you're really going to toy around in real estate, don't toy around. Go get your license and dive full in. Otherwise, stay in your lane and be really great as a lender.
Yeah. And then how can you be a great lending partner to these agents that are going through this time? And I would say you need to talk to them, teach them about value. Because some of these agents, yes, they've been to some, you know, sales rallies and different things. But I don't know, are they going to have to sell more like we have to sell? Like, this is the big difference between, you know, network funding and XYZ companies. Like, real estate agents are now really going to have to sell their value, and maybe we can assist with that. If we feel like we're great at sales, we should be coaching our referring agents about, you know, even role playing with them and how to handle objections and pushbacks from buyers that don't understand they may in fact have to pay you, you know, in order to buy this property out of pocket.
Totally agree with all that, Rich. And I think that's why the opportunity starts with, if we as lenders, let's just speak to our core audience here at Network Funding. If we as lenders have said for years, hey, I'm willing to make my calls and set my appointments, but I just can't get these realtors' attention. Guess what? Right now, you have a unique opportunity where you do have something of value to bring to the table, and they, in return, actually do want to have these conversations. That's one thing I can tell you working with realtors is right now, they're looking for real partners. So if you have a real value proposition to offer them, don't be shy. Get out there and make those calls. Go out and meet with them. Once you sit down and have a partner planning meeting, whether you do it one-on-one or maybe you bring a group of realtors together in a small round table, or you've got a great broker who gives you visibility amongst many agents, however you get there, go in with a spirit of both empathy for what they're going through and a spirit of optimism for what's ahead, because they aren't hearing enough of those messages. They're reading a lot of the same headlines we all read, yeah. and it gets in their heads. They can't help it. So let's be part of the, you know, as my friend Daniel Harkavy likes to say, let's go in and turn the dimmer switch up on their heart, bring some more light into their opportunity and start showing them that we can be a great partner if they'll let us collaborate with them, and we'll get through this together.
For sure. Hey, Michael, this has been great. I'm sure this will be first of many as all of this rolls out. We're going to see some changes in the summer. Some of the stuff is going to be implemented by then, and you know, we'll see some of the outcomes right away. I'm in the camp that we're not going to see some big changes initially. I think it'll be the first few times where the seller says, you know what? No, I'm not going to. And let's see, because you've got a listing broker, they need to be good at what they do also. And that is selling their counterparts, you know, on the buyer side, selling their value. You know, that's what the listing agent's going to have to do in these listing presentations, is in order to get more traffic, you've got to compensate the buyer's agent. They're going to keep your value high and keep the property looked at by lots of buyers. And until we start to get into that, I just don't know, you know, what we're going to see going forward.
So let me leave your audience with two just reminders as we go into these conversations, because these are two of the difficult things I hear. And I want to make sure that we're prepared for them. One of the things is I hear some listing agents saying, it's about time I had the power in this position, because I'm sick of automatically giving 3% to that buyer's agent who's negotiating against me. Now, that's a twisted worldview there. Could be some truth in it, by the way, but it's going to make that process of collaborating more difficult. So when you run into a listing agent who's got kind of a sour attitude about it, be aware. And the other is, let's not be the lenders who are like, finally, these realtors are getting cut down to size. They're going to be paid what they're really worth. Again, if that's our attitude going in, be prepared to work with a very, very small percentage of real estate agents. If you're trying to cut out your referral partners, great strategy. If you're trying to build trust, show some empathy, because it would be better for us all to help them really bring their value prop up rather than tearing their commission down.
Nice. Michael, thank you for coming on and sharing some wisdom and your experience out there. Guys, that's all I got for you today. I'm sure we'll have a couple of videos like this over the next few months. But if you got any comments, questions, suggestions, put them in the comment section below. Otherwise, Michael, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you. Have a great day.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Rich and Michael. This is something that we put out to our people at the beginning of the week, and something that we decided we would want to share with you to see what it looks like to be a part of network funding and be inside the network with all that custom coaching and development that we offer our people. And so if you're interested in learning more about what that looks like, click the Grow link below. We'll get in touch and we'll get you all the information you need to know what it looks like to be inside the network. So thanks so much for watching, listening, wherever you are. We appreciate you. Reach out. We'll talk to you next time on Today in Mortgages. Today in Mortgages is produced by Network Funding LP, which is an equal housing lender, NMLS 2297. The content of this program is meant to be a commentary on mortgage and real estate news, and any discussion of rates and or products should not be taken as an individual mortgage or home buying advice or pricing estimates. And any commentary on this show should not be considered a promise to make a loan. All applicants for a loan must qualify, and you should consult a professional regarding your individual loan scenarios for your financial situation. Visit our website at nflp.com/licenses for all state licensing and other legal information.